Yeah, I think one is that we're American, we don't take shit, and I think that's something that he really put in. And you know, he's, even though he's Argentinian, he has that mindset of like, look, this is what we do, you know, and this is who we are, and this is what America's about. So I think he just, you know, even from an outside perspective, he showed, you know, us Americans what we're about, and you know, he really drills that into us, and I think that's something that, you know, has helped us this last cycle.
Oh, bruh, yo, Sebastian Berhalter knows what it is. Okay. We don't take bloop, you know what I mean?
My man, and he made that noise. He didn't. Yeah.
That's crazy. He's so talented.
All right, that's a fun, you know what? Sometimes it takes an Argentinian to let you know what America's all about. Man?
Just
know?
To give you your groove back.
Okay, welcome. You know? Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
What's up? I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We are here, Cooligans Daily Live across Yahoo. We're all the Cooligans YouTube channel. Thanks so much for joining us. Put some comments in the chat.
Yo, some comments in the chat. How you feeling about Sebastian Berhalter, bro? Okay. You know what it is? He plays in Canada, so he forgot. You know what I mean? He's in Vancouver saying like, no, I'm supposed to apologize for everything. And Pochettino was like, nah, we American,
You get indoctrinated with that politeness. You hate to see it.
Pochettino's like, you know what? Let me answer this phone call. I think I got someone who can convince you otherwise.
We got a fun show. We are in Seattle, Washington. That's getting ready for you. US playing against Australia.
That's Seattle right there, baby. Yeah.
That's a real mountain range.
The wind comes sweeping down the plains out here.
The mics are going to pick up a little bit of wind.
Yeah, I apologize if there's any caribou walking by the shot.
We have a really fun show today. Yes, man. I mean, look, the US against Australia, that's I think what we're all kind of looking forward to. Mm-hmm. So let's start there. As far as you know, on my in my Uber going to the hotel, I was in the driver was from Tanzania, and my man, elite ball knowledge, bro. He knew every team in the
from
world
from Tanzania.
I have a 20-minute ride. It was basically this show in that car, right?
Were you the me of the show trying to drop a little bits?
I was like, sir, take the wheel. Literally, you know what you're doing. And I mean, you could just have a sense of just like, you know, people in Seattle are excited about this game. You know, he's from Tanzania, and he was talking about U.S. Australia, and he said, you know, what we got to do to beat Australia. I'm like,
have you been listening to Sebastian Berhalter inspiration tapes?
My man is locked in.
Bro, I'm a little worried, and mostly because I think Mike Grella's ruined it for all of us. Australia hates this guy. I don't know if you heard during the broadcast yesterday, they said Australia is going to be looking to, and not for anything we did over here at Fox.
Sure.
They just threw a stray at him. And bro, I mean, it's serious. I have Australian friends and I hit them up and they're like, you know this guy? You know this? There's other words I can't say. Sebastian Berhalter was here. You'd hear a beep.
It's really, I mean, I say this with all due respect. This is the most famous Mike Grella has ever been. Everybody.
There's Australian podcast breaking down his career, dog. I'm getting fed all of this.
You can't.
And I'm like, yo, that's my boy. I'm not saying that in the chat.
What did he say about Australia? He said it was going to be a piece of cake or something.
And he goes, Itakunda. He's like, he said it with an Italian accent. I don't know. I don't even know who this guy is. He's the best player.
I mean, we're comedians and we know to not even do that.
Even like, we know, yeah.
we show.
Not always, but I mean, we tend to know.
Sure, yeah. I mean, we can joke around, but it comes from a place of love and respect. You know what I mean?
But let me just say that, and I say this, I speak for both of us. My girl is correct. That's Cooligans right there, bro.
Alexis says he's worried, and then he also says my girl is correct. So what are you going to do?
I just want to put you under pressure by saying I speak for both of us. So, which whenever I say that, you're a whole bottle of magic.
But U.S. Australia, we should preview this game and see what we're kind of focused on right now. I mean, we spoke about it a little bit the other day. We still don't know if Pulisic will be playing or at least starting in this game. Do you rest him? Do you not? Like what? You know, we just saw Sebastian Berhalter. He came in for Pulisic in the second half of the game against Paraguay, and we're not any closer to a definitive thing. I mean, we can still kind of try to predict who's going to be in that position.
But I still think the conversation should be had as to whether we should need Pulisic. I'm not sitting here saying I'm not Grella. I'm not going to say Australia is a pushover, but should we need at this point? The way how well we've played, how much time Pochettino has had, the depth, the versatility, the level of player he brought in, should we need Pulisic to get over the hump with Australia?
I look, it's a World Cup. I'm going to say yes. You want your best players there. I don't see. I'm not necessarily. I'm not panicking per se. But the confidence that he brings the rest of the team, especially when he's playing well, when he, you know, I've been critical of him, not simply as a player. The quality is there, but like the body language, the you know, showing that frustration when he's not having a good game, I think it affects the other players. But when he is having a good game, it also affects the other players. So yeah, that I think that's an important piece, an aspect to his game.
I think for me, I look, if it was Germany, Brazil, I'd be like, or you know, England, I'd be like, yeah, we need him on the pitch without a doubt.
Okay. Australia? Add Alexis to your Australia comment. Our comment section.
Please don't.
You know, at the very least, our comment section in our, I think, a preview of this game, a lot of Australian people, I think before the World Cup it was, the preview, people were like, Australian people were like, hey, I really appreciated this analysis, guys.
Hey.
And it's like, that's the comments that Mike Grella is getting are the ones we usually get.
Yeah. Look at us. And we've turned a corner, folks.
We're in.
Maybe we should be wearing ascots.
We're in the upside down.
Look
bro.
At this. For me, when it comes to the U.S., I think for me, if we're going to go over like, you know, most important player or lineups, or we're not both answering texts. why don't we take a look at like the expected lineups? Why don't we take a look at the expected 11? Because I think ours is a little different for the U.S.
Yeah. So for me, I think I'm going to just go with the same exact lineup. Mm. I said this before.
You think Pulisic starts?
I think Pulisic starts. I think I hear day to day. Look, my guess is that when I was hearing Chris Richards and two torn like ligaments in his ankle, I'm like, man, that sounds really bad. He was like, and he was still on the bench at Crystal Palace at the Conference League final.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, even Chris Richards must be like, come on, Pulisic. I mean, buddy, like, buddy, you took a little knock.
I can't feel my toes, and I'm out there.
Okay. So I think the same lineup would be fine, and I don't think it would even necessarily be that risky, but you have a different lineup.
I would be excited if this were the lineup, but I don't think that's going to be the case for me. I think we're going to stick with the 3-5-2, but I think we're going to move Balogun to the left. I'm thinking maybe Zendejas on the right, just someone who plays in a much more physical league and has sort of learned how to excel in that, and he's done a great job at Club America. And maybe that helps with Australia. And I'm also thinking Zendejas isn't afraid to track back. He's not afraid to get stuck in defensively. And with Australia's ability to counter, bro, we're going to need an extra hand out there.
Well, yeah, I mean, at least the thing that I think this lineup does bring is some incredible pace, especially on the right side. Hmm. Freeman, Dest, Zendejas, like, nobody's really getting by you if you're
you're getting by everybody.
No, I'm saying I'm from a defensive perspective.
Okay,
nobody's getting, like, I mean, you would imagine if we were talking about those counters, they're gonna be conscious of that. And depending on where Inankunda, what side he's on,
right,
which he was on the left, this seems like a lineup that could handle counters.
Mm-hmm. And we've been glazing Alex Freeman for like the last few days, ever since the first match, because I think he has turned the corner. I think he's shown that he is a much, much better player than the last Alex Freeman that we saw back when he was still in MLS, about to make the move to Europe. Something's happened. It's clicked. And I'm really excited. But he's going to be essential. I hadn't really thought about how essential he's going to be. He's going to be essential because his ability to, even if he's out of position, he's a supreme athlete.
If
he can get back in front of Iracunda or I can't remember their striker's the striker's name. Is it Maurice?
What's, I forgot his name too. But Alex Freeman's an interesting case because I think I was critical.
Torre.
We're looking at it right now. Freeman's an interesting because I was critical early on when he first started getting call-ups that he was not that great on the ball. I think he ends up scoring like, what is it, 2 goals against Uruguay, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But this lineup for Australia is not a... Again, it's just like, look on paper, it's just the same thing. If the game was played on spreadsheets, the U.S. should dominate this game, but
it is not.
But it is not. Yeah. Even though as much as I would love it to be.
You would be like, ooh, you should make a football manager that only uses spreadsheets.
There we go. Virgins unite.
Oh, my everybody. God, dude.
We have a community, finally.
There's at least a dozen of us, dude.
So, this is a I like where this where this sort of storyline is going, because both teams, I think, didn't expect that this would be the situation and just being in for weirdly enough, this is one of those scenarios where we're not there yet, but a draw would kind of be fine. Like, where both teams could be like,
let's shake hands.
Yo, you good?
Yeah, yeah,
we
good?
We just want to move on.
We switch a didgeridoo for a brick of cheese, and we go about our separate ways.
Draw's not that terrible, but...
I mean, looking at the group stages here, you were talking about it. Both of them technically in first place, right? The U.S. obviously ahead because of goal differential. But yeah, I agree with you. Although a win here for one of these... for one of these nations makes that third match
without a doubt
not null and void, but you definitely start your B or C squad, you know, your backups against Turkey if you could beat Australia. But when I think about Australia, I think about a lot of players that I think are going to shine. And what player on the U.S. do you think has to step up for this game?
So for me, because I know there's probably, I can only think of one player that might be slightly targeted, especially based on how Australia played against Turkey. Tim Ream.
Okay.
I think he does need to step up, and I loved his performance in the game against Paraguay. So, but yeah, he is going to be, you know, they're going to look at obviously his pace and say, hey, this might be an opportunity if we can get him out on an island. I wonder if, you know, in the game against, in the first game, he maintained the ball a lot. I mean, he had a lot of
him and Chris Richards set records for how much they passed.
Sure, I would say him, Ream, Adams both had the ball a lot, and Tim Ream completed a lot of passes. He was effectively again outside of that slip. He didn't really make any mistakes, but
he's still recovered in that slip.
Yeah, and so that's the one place I think they can target. So he kind of has to have a flawless game. There's not gonna be. My guess is that there's not going to be a lot of counters, because if the game goes like the way the Australia-Turkey game did, it's just going to be defend, make sure we don't give up good chances, and then attack on the counter when we have the opportunity. But Australia didn't take a ton of shots, but they were just absolutely effective.
They were clinical. Look, I think the opposite. I think the U.S. is going to look at Australia and say, okay, how can we minimize what Iracunda is doing? Which is why I think I'm looking at what player needs to sort of step up. And it may come from another angle. It may come from a counter from maybe on the other side. And that's why I think more than even just the defenders, I think Matt Freese is going to have a big game here. Not to suggest that he had a bad game in the first one. The goal wasn't great to let up. It would have been wonderful to walk away with a clean sheet there. But Matt Freese didn't get a lot of work in the first game. And I have a feeling he's going to be tested a lot more. And it may be 1v1. And that's why I think he's really going to have to step up when he runs out of the box, when he goes to clear that ball, when he plays that sweeper keeper, when he, you know, if our defenders split and he sort of joins in the middle a lot like Pickford's doing, you know, can he distribute the ball effectively? Can he pick someone out in the midfield or go over? I think his distribution, he's going to end up feeling a little bit more like a quarterback in this game. And I also think his last second defending is going to be so essential, especially on corners.
Sure. It is interesting because in the first game, you almost wish Paraguay were a little bit better, and
so he could get a little warmer.
He can get a little warmer.
Get a couple warmed
up. I feel like Matt Freese. I think maybe he even might feel this way. Like he hasn't gotten that World Cup welcome like
into
yet.
The game yet.
To build that confidence, where you know, like, yeah, maybe your defense let it.
Dude, we're in the same city. Should we just go pop a couple shots at him at the hotel? What are we doing here?
Hey, we want you to make sure you're ready.
Hey,
you know?
If anything, we're assistant coaches now.
He's literally just sleeping in bed, and I'm
volleying shots at his backboard.
Hey, stay sharp, Matty. Okay,
all right, head on a swivel.
It's the World Cup. Okay,
yeah, the drool's in your eye, boy.
So, man, this is a look. I still also don't think Australia is going to get a lot of opportunities, but they might get some.
If there's at least one 1v1, you know what I mean? If the last 90 minutes was you just kind of chilling.
The goal conceded against Paraguay, like Matt Freese is like, I don't know where this ball will end up. Yeah. Like, I have to just kind of maintain this position. But it was basically just like passing it right in into the net.
Frustrating to see, but not really his fault.
Not his fault, yeah. No. And then the goal conceded, the Havertz goal in the friendly before the World Cup started is another one where I'm like, I just want to see a few moments of bravery. So just so he's like, I knocked some dude aerial ball. I knocked him out of the way. I'm like, okay, I'm here. I'm ready. Yeah. So I feel like we haven't had that yet for Matt Freese.
What about our opponent? Who are you looking out for on Australia? Who's your player to watch?
I'm gonna go with somebody I'm very familiar with.
Oh, damn! All right, I know you were besties
because I hosted a Q&A for with the supporters of NYCFC, and this man was one of the guests, Aidan O'Neill, midfielder for New York City Football Club, and obviously. At Australia. I highlight him because I think he's going to be an important piece to just the composure for Australia. And we, I think we saw it in the friendly when the US and Australia last played. You know, Matt Freese, obviously on the other end, NYCFC player. But there was Aidan O'Neill. I think they were even getting chippy with each other because it was just like, yo, Aidan, why are you tackling my teammates like this, bro. Yeah. Like, take it easy.
Hey relax.
It's a friendly, mate. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We're supposed to be friends here. But he's a, you know, when I spoke with him and met him, I thought he just brought up, you know, coming, he was coming from Belgium.
Yeah.
But just a lot of poise, a lot of confidence. And I think, you know, he's an incredible asset to that, to the Australian national team.
Yeah. And I mentioned it before. For me, I think Iracunda might be a little bit busier than he was in the last match. I think Cat's out of the bag. I think we know what to expect from Iracunda. And I think Traore does a great job. But I think Connor Metcalf, who had an assist last game, his heat map was crazy. He was up and down the pitch. Connor Metcalf, who is the midfield on the right side, kind of plays almost their desk, if you will.
Did he score? He scored in the last game.
I don't think so. I think he...
Please confirm, producers. I'm almost sure he did.
He did score. Okay, sorry. I thought he had an assist. but what should we call it? Kind of looks like the character from Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Jiminy Cricket.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I don't know this character.
You do know.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe. I'll pull up a photo.
I know the OG, Jiminy Cricket.
if production could pull up a photo of Jiminy Cricket from Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and it was side-by-side with that screaming picture of Connor Metcalf.
We didn't prepare this.
I was inspired.
We're putting the graphics team really on the... Okay.
But you see here, one chance created. He scored a goal. He's just one of those players that if he can get into that final third, and if we're keeping Iracunda busy, he may be the overload. He's on the exact opposite side of that side of that pitch. He may be that guy that gets free. So I think we need to take a look at him.
Okay. I'm not super worried. I just think that the U.S. defense is going to be more focused on maintaining possession and. Again, for whatever reason, I feel like if Paraguay couldn't create those too many dangerous chances, I don't think Australia will. This game feels like a 1-0, 0-0. Like, I just don't see a ton of chances.
This feels like Australia is going to wait for us to make mistakes. So it's up to us to just not make
mistakes. Agreed.
But why don't we take a look? I mean, like, you seem pretty confident. So what's your prediction?
I'm going to go with... you know what? I'm going to say that there's going to be a clean sheet in this game. And I think Matt Freese can do it. So I'm going to go 1-0 US. I think it's going to be a really, really difficult game. And just because, again, the last time they played, it was incredibly physical. It wasn't intense. And now at a World Cup, I think it's just going to be brought up to just like a different level. So 1-0 United States.
I kind of get where you're coming from, and mine has the same gap. But for me, it's going to be 2-1. I think this is going to be a game where the U.S. are going to have to score something in the last quarter of the match. I'm saying quarter because after the hydration break. I just think I think it's going to be 1-1 for a while. I can see the U.S. scoring first, and I can see Australia equalizing maybe either before the half on the other side of the half. And I think it's going to take the U.S. kind of making the right subs to score that second goal. Gio Reyna? Possibly.
Why not? Okay. He just does the baby celebration again. I'm like, twins? What's going on?
Damn, you got your side piece pregnant? That's crazy. Why do that here?
Every single time. Every go.
What are the comments saying, bro?
All right. Yeah, we got a couple comments on YouTube. I remember youtube.com/soccercooligans. If you want to leave something in the chat.
Chris D. Moore said, if Pulisic doesn't start, sounds like a great game for Roldan to play. I'm surprised you didn't, bro.
No. Roldan, I think, is more closer to a Tyler Adams replacement maybe versus removing Pulisic and going more defensive. Because I think Roldan and Adams are,
you know what I say, Roldan, keep peeing clean, buddy. Welcome to Statics for being on the team.
Carton Singful.
Really?
Oh, is that Carter Singful? Yeah, okay, I know him. I think they should let Pulisic sit and have Pepe come on with the old 3-5-2.
I don't want two strikers, especially since neither one of them can really play like an additional 10.
After seeing Pepe in the two friendlies and his like the ball distribution, I think that would be not a risky move.
I don't think it'd be risky, but as a start, I think that's a great change of pace.
Okay,
the bench.
I mean, even as he looked great. I think Pepe is better when Pulisic is on, so that's my only concern. But I thought Pepe had been fantastic, not only to end the season but in those two friendlies.
All right, we got Christian's biggest op, Spider Zlatan, said if the U.S. wants to make a run, getting first in the group is almost needed. We got to win against Australia because Turkey will be better against us because we don't bunker. I could see that, but at the same time, I was looking at all those like suggested routes out of the group. Okay. And like which one gives you the cleanest? And I think second actually gives the U.S. a slightly easier way through. I wish I remembered who we would avoid in the round of 16. It might be England actually.
Okay.
Actually, we might play England on 4th of July.
Which would be
on the 250th anniversary of this country.
Which would be what a great storyline,
bro, dude. I say the U.S. come out in Minutemen hats. You feel me?
Big fan. Hannah Banana said, big fan of Diamond's little brother. Is that a Always Sunny reference? I don't know what that is.
I don't know. Diamond's little brother.
No, I don't know. Okay,
let me know in my ear if you guys are pulling up the Jiminy Cricket.
Cox Seven said, I've seen enough. Colombia is never losing again. What a great game. By Colombia, man. Daniel.
Hey, man, I think Uzbekistan got nothing to be.
Yeah, dude. The same there. It's going to be 40 days of this. They should be very proud of the performance they put in. No, Colombia, Daniel Munoz with that first goal was fantastic. It was getting a little nervy after Uzbekistan scored, but outside of that, man, Colombia looked pretty good.
I'm really happy Uzbekistan scored. That's their first goal ever in a World Cup. Yeah. The country only existed since the early 90s, I think 1991. So shouts to Tashkent Market. They must have been going late.
Okay.
I'm really Jiminy Cricket.
That's Jiminy Cricket.
All right. That's Jiminy Cricket. Does that not look like Connor Metcalf? Can we go back to the screaming Connor Metcalf?
Can we go back and forth?
I know this is difficult. I apologize. I'm putting you guys on pressure.
We
here.
Also have a guest waiting for us. There we go. Okay.
Oh no, okay. Well, you can't see it in this picture, yeah, but the one where he's screaming.
I kinda see it. All right. Dude,
Jiminy Cricket. Who I was on the train with. The actor who portrays him. Okay. He's one of the writers.
I'm like, you're on the train with Connor Metcalf?
Yeah, I was like, Germany?
All right. Well, we have a guest coming up in just a second, but we'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Excited to be welcoming our next guest.
We got guests, bro.
Okay, yes, we are guests in this hotel room.
100%.
But we have guests.
We're getting complaints from other guests here, but we have a guest calling in.
But yes, we are joined by the one and only Mark Howard, formerly of Salford City, goalkeeper. An incredible season with Salford. But Mark, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on. Yeah, I'm delighted to be on.
No doubt.
Huge fan, by the way.
Yeah, obviously you are.
That means a lot. Come on, we will revolute you £5 for saying that. Thank you.
Well, but England had a very entertaining match. I think maybe some people in England were a little bit worried a couple moments. It was 2-2 at halftime, but ended up winning this game 4-2. What were your first reactions to that big England win against Croatia, Mark? We got you. Oh, Marcus Frozen. Oh, no.
I just thought he really knew how to hold a smile.
All
right, he's frozen. We're working on it in the background. We'll get him back.
We'll get him back.
Isn't that crazy? It always freezes right when we start to ask the question.
I was like, did I say it wrong? Did he hate my accent? No, man. All right. Well, we'll give our quick thoughts and we'll get Mark back on. But England wins against Croatia. And I just want to bring this up because yesterday I said, you were like, oh, what's his name? Anthony Gordon. You're like, Anthony Gordon, he's on the left. That should be the starter. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
He's great. He just got the big move to Barcelona. There's a lot of drama between Rashford and Gordon and Barcelona. Who ends up scoring?
No. Hey.
Who gets it done?
No, Rashford looked good. That's because Anthony Gordon did all the hard work. He loosened it. He loosened the jar.
Okay. Yeah. It's like when your wife asks you like to open something, and then she's struggling, and then boom, you got it. Okay,
yeah.
I get
That's
it.
Exactly what Anthony Gordon did. He did all the hard work, bro. He loosened up the pressure.
But I
think that this game, I think, goes to show that England has way too much talent.
Okay.
Mark, can you agree with me that you should be sharing some of this talent on the English national team?
Sorry about that. Yeah, obviously, yeah, and a great win for England. We started the first half so nervy as well. I think you could see that in our defensive performance. It was they lacked like relationships almost. It was new players playing with each other that didn't really have that bond. But I think the second half, whatever the manager Thomas Tuchel said, it's in the second half just really fired them up. And I tell you one thing that I was most impressed with: the substitutions came on and made a real impact to their game. You see Marcus Rashford coming on, scoring a fantastic goal on a counter attack, and even the way that Bellingham scored within 2 minutes of the second half, that's the thing that impressed me most, is whatever he said in that locker room, wow, it worked.
Yeah, every single challenge, every tackle was just like a little bit more intense in that second half that you could really see the urgency.
Yeah, that Madueke miss was the only thing I'm like, come on. But
yeah, we got an Arsenal fan. He's obviously very focused on what the Arsenal players do.
Yeah, backup Saka, they're pretty good. Well, let's talk a little bit about Livakovic's penalty save being penalized for stepping off the line as a goalkeeper. Did you realize that right away? Or what is that? How does that feel like watching you? Like, damn, one of my boys got caught.
Nah, straight away I knew. As soon as he makes contact with the ball, you can see his right foot just leaves the line. This is something we work on as goalkeepers, almost starting behind the line as you go to make the penalty save. Right. So that when you actually make your dive, your foot's on the line. And it's hard lines. And now with VAR, that's always going to get stopped. I think they actually stopped it for encroachment from Guardiola. But yes, definitely would have got pulled back anyway for what seems very harsh, but yes, fair result at the end of the day. But I'm biased. I'm English.
Yeah. I mean, I did see the run up from Harry Kane at the moment. It seemed a little bit unnecessary to do the little stutter. How do you feel as a goalkeeper? Do you think the penalty takers get a little too much leeway with how much they can kind of jitter and pause when they go up to take a pen?
I hate the stutter. I'm going to tell you, honestly, it's the worst thing for a goalie. You're basically giving them an even more of an advantage. You may as well bring it to 10 yards instead of 12. You're giving them such an advantage. Like, we're not allowed to leave the line. Make the goal bigger. Let them score.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, who do you think has the most pressure in a penalty situation? Is it the penalty taker or the goalie? Because for me, the goalkeeper kind of doesn't, if it goes in, it kind of feels like it's supposed to. But if you make a save or if they miss, it's the worst day of their lives, the best day of your life. Where do you think the pressure is right before when the whistle blows? Who do you think has the most pressure?
Oh, 100% is all on the striker. The penalty taker has all the pressure. The goalkeeper can only be a hero. And if it goes in, everyone goes, oh, you should have scored anyway. It's only from 12 yards out.
Right.
But yeah, we love it as goalkeepers. We're like, this is fun for us because we're about to get some plaudits for nothing, for just doing some homework before the game.
I love how honest you are, bro. I don't know how much time you spent in America, but you did good.
I want to talk about Spain and Cape Verde because, I mean, it was a nil-nil, and obviously nobody really expected that kind of result. But the goalkeeper became you talk about becoming a hero. He had, I believe, 7 or 8 saves, just unbelievable stops. A 40-year-old goalkeeper, Vozinha. But then the social media plaudits afterwards. He starts the match with 40,000 Instagram followers, and now it's somewhere around 12 million. When you see a story like this for a goalkeeper, are you excited, thrilled? Are you also like, why not me?
Why isn't my mom Cape Verde?
What were your thoughts?
both. I felt exactly the same. I felt both. I was like, oh, imagine if that was me. Yeah, 40,000. He's just gone up to 13.5 as this is going out. So, yeah, wow, jeez, what a rise. Wow. And what a moment for him. But everyone's going on about his 7 or 8 saves. He made 3 high claims from crosses as well, took the pressure off of his team. And, yeah, just a fantastic result. They'll be building that man a statue soon. I'm no doubt about that.
Without a doubt.
Good God, man. I wish I was a part of that.
Dude, it's we don't see this scores like this for like any player. But it's fascinating that his story has been so I don't know, relatable, and just people, a lot of
it's
our
also equal, you know, drawing nil nil with Spain. Yeah, if they had done that with Uzbekistan, he wouldn't be getting the followers.
Okay.
But the fact that it happened against Spain is very heroic. But, I mean, Vozinha had a great match, but are there any goalkeepers that you're looking out for in this World Cup? Is there anyone you're really keeping an eye on? And you can't say Pickford.
Well, obviously I'm going to say Pickford as one of them. But, yeah, I'm really excited to see the older goalkeepers in the tournament. We've got Manuel Neuer, Matt Musieri for Uruguay. We've got Ocha might play again for Mexico in what will be its 5th tournament. The older goalies are representing Craig Gordon at Scotland. I'm buzzing that there's so many goalkeepers over the age of 40. Me being 39, I feel like the young man here.
Yeah, look at these old bucks.
Yeah, I mean, is there anything to be said about a goalkeeper's age? Maybe where do you, when you are fighting for, you know, your position at whatever club, and clearly there's goalkeepers that are 22, 23 years old, 25. Can you like quantify what makes you better to get that starting role over others due to your age and experience?
100%. It's just experience. The older goalkeepers, we've seen the situations. We've seen the shots. We've trained for them for 20 years. The young goalkeepers have got physical attributes that the older goalies don't have anymore. But us older goalkeepers, we have seen the repetition in what a striker does. Every time he raises his left arm to kick it with his right foot, we've seen him open his shoulders, close his shoulders. We know what they're thinking. So that's the biggest thing about being an older goalkeeper, especially these ones at the World Cup, is they've seen all these situations arise. They know how to handle the pressure, and they're thriving off it.
Yeah, that reminds me of the Spanish saying, que diablo no es diablo porque no sabe tanto porque diablo, pero porque tú sabes tan viejo, whatever. Okay. The exact phrase I think I might have got wrong, but basically it's the devil is not wise, if you want to call it wise. The translation in Spanish doesn't work because he's the devil, but because he's old. So it's like, you know, you understand, you've seen things so many times. So when I think of older goalkeepers, I almost feel way more confident than when I see a young one. It's like, yeah, you could spring up like a cat, but you were in the wrong position. You needed to spring like a cat. Where an old goalkeeper is like, oh, this guy again, let me just go 2 meters. Let me click 2 meters to the left.
But yeah, I think we've seen that with Vizinha's performance in the 8 saves. None of them were world-class saves, but he was in the right position. He used the right technique. He was calm with his decision and kept it tidy. There was none of them bouncing off of him and giving second opportunities. I think that's what you saw in an older performance.
Yeah. What are your thoughts for England in this tournament? I'm not going to ask you, is it coming home? But after the first match, how are we feeling? Do you want to adjust your predictions? And what were your predictions?
I think my predictions were we'd get to quarterfinal, semi-final, and then it's a lottery after that. You then see the teams that are more possession-based, used to playing in the hotter conditions, and clearly we're not. It's currently just stopped raining outside, so yeah, we're used to a cooler, calmer, colder climate. But yeah, I think that England this year is a new step for Thomas Tuchel, and I'm really pleased that he's putting some young, athletic, hungry players in the squad. But that might not pay dividends further down the tournament. But yeah, there's some exciting games coming up, and like you said, there's a potential clash with the USA, and that could be amazing.
That could be huge.
I would love to see another nil-nil victory for the United States.
Are you kidding me? Oh,
at least the goalies at least the goalies win if
it's nil-nil.
That's a goalie victory. I'm going to call it that from now on, bro.
Well, you know, I'm an Everton fan, so seeing Jordan Pickford out there is always...
Yeah, seriously. Okay, I love what a rough life. Tim Howard ruined this man's life.
I love, you know what I love about this? The banter in England is just so unique because it's like, my man, you were in a grind in the championship, and then you telling me you're like, I'm sorry for what you went through. I was like, you've been through so much as well.
Yeah, but at least he could go home and watch a better team than you.
But I get it. Oh my goodness. Well, Mark Howard, thank you so much for hanging out with us, man. This has been so cool. I mean, I think if there is a my last question, have you seen any of the U.S. games? Do you pay attention to any of the U.S. goalkeeping? I don't know if you have any thoughts on.
Of course,
you can give us some insight.
Between playing Turner or Freese is huge, but yeah, I think Freese in the build up to it, and it, like we were saying about Matt Turner's probably got all of the experience, and I think he might end up coming into the games, especially if you win against Australia, he'll play the next game, and then it's again a lottery of who plays past that. But Matt Freese has done so well for you, and I've been very impressed with him. And yeah, I watched the opening game. One of my friends, Anthony Robertson, Jedi, is playing.
Awesome friend of the show.
Years ago, what a guy he is! I tell you what, he is the most adaptable person I've ever seen. He can complete anything. Obviously, we've all seen him do the Rubik's cube. I saw him throw his first ever darts at the darts board, and he threw three. Nearly got 140. He threw a 140 on his
look
first
at this. If Mark tell me you saw Jedi take his first steps, I believe you as well.
I'm nowhere near as good as darts as a guy who just started. Damn,
that's incredible.
Even like his first day, we was all like, "Why are you called Jedi?" And he goes, "Watch this," and just did a backflip. Didn't speak, just said, "Watch this."
You know what? Yeah. I know he's that kind of guy.
I love it. I absolutely love that, man. I want to be around him at all times. Dude, thank you so much for joining us. Let us know where you end up. I know you're a free agent. Let us know where you end up. We'll come out and watch you.
Yeah, but what would be exciting.
Maybe in the U.S. Okay. soon.
Hey, okay. Ooh, we'll put it in a good
news,
word.
Huh?
We'll put in a good word. Mark Howard, thank you so much for joining us. And best of luck to England going forward in this World Cup.
Thank you very much.
Welcome back to the Cooligans, everybody. Oh, my God. Mark was great.
Yeah, shout out to Mark.
I'm not as confident in England as he is, but let's talk about one of our co-hosts, if you will, mm-hmm. in Canada, because they had a promising first match. I wouldn't call it a great one, though, because obviously you didn't win. The only host nation to not win their first match. Mm-hmm. But again, Bosnia-Herzegovina, 1-1. Any thoughts? Worried about Canada?
I'm a little worried about Canada. They had a strong home crowd in Toronto and conceded the first goal and then Kyle Larin comes in and gets the equalizer late in the game. They couldn't sort of like break down that low block from Bosnia and Herzegovina. So I'm a little bit concerned. Just for the rest of this tournament, they need 3 points here.
Absolutely, because everyone's on 1 point. So Switzerland also couldn't beat Qatar.
Right.
So this is it. If you don't beat Qatar, you're not probably going to beat Switzerland. And you even if you draw against Qatar and everyone draws, you're putting yourself in a really uncomfortable position where that third match becomes the absolute most important match.
Yeah, so Canada has never won a game in the World Cup, so this could be their first opportunity. This is a decent shot.
This is why you hired Jesse Marsh.
I believe Alfonso. What's the status of Alfonso Davies?
He was in the stands at Colombia, the Colombia game.
That's not where we want him necessarily.
Not necessarily.
But I don't know if he's going to be available. So that's kind of the concern. They're just like missing some key pieces, and I don't know if did he play in the first game? Why do I not remember? I don't know if he did.
I'm not 100% sure, but I know Jonathan David and Kyle Larin, to me, I think stood out the most in this game. What did you what do you think? You think any changes might be coming, or stick with what we see here?
I don't know. I can't see what I wasn't watching them thinking like something's clearly wrong with this team, because they had a lot of chances. They I believe the Larin, I think, had the before he ended up scoring the shot that hit the crossbar or the clearance. It was just like a crazy series of events. So Canada in that first game still looked. They had momentum. They looked pretty good. But again, like just like clinical kind of finishing.
You got to close out a match.
Yeah, and they just they didn't really have that in this game. But the fact that the I thought the crowd in Toronto was just fantastic. I'm like,
when was the last time Canada had a crowd like that?
Yeah, I mean, just that's what they need to be using to like kind of like push them forward. So, yeah, we're looking at Kyle Larin's. You know, he played 14 minutes, but I think he scored on pretty quickly after he got onto the pitch. Oluwaseyi, the former Minnesota United guy, I thought he was pretty good. But in general, there's just I think it's just like that. Maybe it was just the nerves of the World Cup, and at least they got their first. Point right, like they're better than they did at the last World Cup. They were pretty abysmal on the last time. So hopefully that home crowd can push them to 3 points.
Yeah, this is a big chance against Qatar to at least get yourself on the winning side of the stats, and hopefully that propels you into the group stages, which I think would be, I mean, out of the group stages into the knockout rounds, which would be huge for Canada. And again, this is why you hire Jesse Marsh.
Also, for Qatar would be their first ever win if they also got. Big kind of storylines on both sides of the ball for them.
What an emotional moment.
You got to win for it to be emotional. Right.
For a moment like this.
So, I wonder. Oh, so he didn't play. Alphonso Davies did not play.
I thought maybe he came in as a substitute.
So that's going to be. I would imagine if he is in Colombia, if he is in at the Colombia game, which was in Mexico, I imagine he's not playing in this game. But I don't know.
Who knows? Right? He got money. He got private jet money. Also, you know what I mean? Canada boys in the locker room. Jesse, you don't even say nothing. I watched Hoosiers on the way here. I don't even think you need to say anything. Don't even say that speech. You know what you do? You bless Celine Dion. Now, what brings you more civic pride than a little Celine Dion?
Okay.
Oh, will your heart go on? Qatar got nothing against that, bro.
Hilarious. Okay, do you want to move on to the next game?
Yeah, Scotland versus Morocco.
Scotland against Morocco. And this is where Scotland won their first game against
Scotland
Haiti.
Is Vibes FC.
Yes, it is. And this game is also in Boston.
Yeah.
And
Scotland has drank two or three bars out of beer.
What an incredible. This is thank you for contributing to our economy.
Yeah. In fact, the Tennent's, you know, Tennent's used to be the shirt sponsor for like Celtic and all those clubs. Tennent's is a beer.
Okay.
They it's not very popular in the US, but it is very popular in Boston because of the Irish and Scottish background there.
Gotcha.
The distributor has no more. The distributor.
we're tapped out.
The guy who supplies all the bars got nothing left. So absolutely incredible. Thank you to all the Scotland fans to all the.
They're out there making the yeast. They need to make more.
I don't know how you make yeast. This is
they're like,
yeast
well, I'm out of barley.
Damn.
The Scottish drink too much.
One of us needs to hop, apparently. How do we make beer? Scotland, to me, look, obviously the names that stand out are, you know, you're McTominay's, right? You know, McGinn is one of those players that I dare you to count him out. He's going to find a way to score. He's, you know, if he walked past you, you wouldn't think he was a professional footballer. Right. And yet this guy cannot stop finding ways to win.
But he's a unit. I mean, if you have not watched Aston Villa play and you have not watched John McGinn, if you're new to this game, you just watch him. My man looks like he looks like a running back. That is,
but like Julian Edelman,
you know what I mean? Stocky dribbles in a
Scabito. What's
way.
His name, dude? Like Scabido,
Scabido.
That guy, bro.
Just getting him.
He's gonna put on a suit. Go to Scabido. Yeah.
Anyway, so
Scabido sounds like a game you play with children. But he's like that. He's like a stocky, like the white dude who runs.
So
a lot
the,
in
my
a
only concern
game.
Here for Scotland, and I went to their friendly against Bolivia, and they were fantastic, completely dominated. They played against Haiti, only won 1-0. That's a little bit of like, oh, you would think on paper Scotland is a stronger team. They have all these players that play all over Europe. They should be better.
I think Scotland would have a parade if they beat anybody 3-0.
Sure. You know what I mean? Well, the disparity of quality between Haiti and Morocco now I'm a little
Haiti's gonna be behind the ball. The entire match.
You mean?
I'm sorry. Scotland's going to be behind the ball. Has anyone ever confused those two? Scotland's going to be behind the ball for a lot of this match, and we're looking here why. I mean, every player is a defender on Scotland when this team rose up. I mean, Morocco's so talented from Saibati up top.
Brahim Diaz.
I mean, Hakimi. Like, this is just a stacked team, and they play together so well. they play together like they only have ever played on this team.
Sure. And then the goalkeeper, Banu. Banu is just
Montreal,
always.
By the way, that could have been the starter for Canada.
Always shows up for Morocco in World Cups and is just a great player.
Yeah, he spent some time on the pitch last match because of his shoulder. So hopefully that's all all cleared.
So this is, I mean, you gotta Scotland. Look, if Scotland can get a draw here, would be an honestly, if Scotland, because we're not expecting that much, but if they can get a result here, this change the table is just
everything is haywire.
Haiti's like, yes, we have a real opportunity.
What Morocco did last World Cup, that would happen now if Scotland were to get a draw, because suddenly all the everyone's predictions are right. gone. Right. And I think that would be really exciting for Scotland. I think Morocco's got this one in the bag pretty easily, though.
Yeah, I'm hoping just for an entertaining game. I don't want Scotland to get like blown out. And even though you know they're gonna have to show they're gonna have to defend in a way that they haven't really yet in these last not even just the game against Haiti, but even like in leading up to the World Cup.
But bro, if Scotland wins, look at this. Look at the standings. If Scotland wins, that means Brazil's gonna need to win their next two games to get in.
Yeah, I've been seeing a bunch of memes basically of like, I don't know, like basically people like yelling at a bunch of other people, and it's like, but it's like a Scotland flag, and it being like, not having 3 points couldn't be me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like literally yelling at Brazil. So I love to see the confidence, and I think the Scottish players are heavily affected by the fans. For the Scottish fans have been awesome throughout, not just even just like at specifically the World Cup, but like leading up to the World Cup, there've been people in kilts walking around around New York and New Jersey when they were playing.
Tartan armies everywhere. Yeah. They're taking over bars in New York. They're taking over everywhere. And it's all in fun, man. And I said this. I want to just hang out with the Scottish fans. You're seeing why. You're seeing it all over social media. The longer Scotland stays in this tournament, the better it is. Because then we get more and more of these videos.
I agree. Man. Okay, next up, we got Brazil versus IT. Okay.
Some of you guys are going to have to go get jobs in IT.
To Haiti's credit, I was impressed with
very much so
what they did against Scotland. They held them scoreless for a long time, but Brazil is Brazil.
And look at how stacked this team is. I wonder if Thiago starts. We're seeing this as a projected lineup. Thiago didn't fill me with a lot of confidence.
Yeah, Igor Thiago from Brentford. I didn't. He missed that a really great chance against Morocco, and it's a different situation. But I still think, and I was talking to a bunch of different Brazilian people. Not a lot of people not happy with Igor Thiago's performance. They're wondering why Endrick is not starting, or at the very least giving him an opportunity. And really, the narrative is just about like the questions are like, what's Ancelotti doing? Why does he not give certain players opportunities? Will we see Neymar in this game? This is where, hey, maybe this is where you bring him in.
You bring him in against Haiti.
Oh, Neymar is officially out.
Out. Never mind.
Never mind.
You do not bring him in for Haiti.
You know what? Why producers always giving bad news?
Yeah, dude. Send us a video of a cat playing with a dog, dude. Switch it up.
But honestly, this actually makes me pretty frustrated. Why bring Neymar? He can't even play the first two games. What's he going to do in knockout games?
Cockiness. Because you think like, well, if he can't play in the group stage, at least he can play in the knockout game. And is Brazil going to get that far? Look, Brazil... Again, they're going to have to lean on the individual excellence. Also, I got a couple of messages from Brazilian fans who said that I was right, that if you filled the team with more Brazilian league players, that maybe the talent level wouldn't be at the same, right, on paper or like in EAFC scores, but at least they would play together. And that's something we didn't see Brazil do. They don't play very well together. It seems like the midfield seems very disconnected from the forwards. And to me, there's something wrong here. And Carlo Ancelotti doesn't seem like the manager that gets them to play together. He seems like the manager that takes a bunch of amazing players and says like, all right, we'll do a 4-4-2. You guys figure it out there.
Yeah.
So not to say he's not tactical. I know he is. But this isn't the manager to sort of sit there. He's not the Luis Enrique, you know what I mean, who's going to figure out the exact tactics. So I'm a little worried about Brazil. And if you look bad against Haiti, this is going to go down real bad for the fans.
Yeah, I mean, I think the result against Morocco was, I think, pretty disappointing for a lot of fans. I think they thought that they should have been better there, or at least not. That first half from Morocco, I mean, Brazil kind of got played off the park. I mean,
yeah, for sure,
they didn't really look that composed. But this is the game This is your rebound game. All respect to Haiti. I want Haiti to do well.
We're all rooting for the Caribbean teams.
Yeah, before the World Cup started, I said, man.
Also, you're Dominican. You can't say anything negative.
And I would not, but I never would anyway. There are plenty of Dominicans that do. I'm trying to make up for the.
Not one of them. Where's my hand? One of them over there.
No, I really want them to do well. And that's why their performance against Scotland made me kind of optimistic that we know that the quality is not exactly there compared to some of these other teams, but the heart does seem to be. And it was like kind of heartbreaking that to give up a late goal. But John McGinn ended up scoring. So we're looking at the Haiti lineup, and there's not necessarily not too many super familiar names.
Derek Etienne on the bench.
Derek Etienne, the homie. Derek Etienne Jr. I hope he gets in this game. I know even playing against Brazil would just be such a huge
great moment
for him. Him and his family and stuff
from
like that.
Jersey, Patterson/Clifton's own.
Yeah. So shout out to the homie Derek Etienne, friend of the show, been on the show a bunch of times. Yeah. MLS Cup champ. Look, best of luck to Haiti. Want them? I want a fun, entertaining game. Yeah. But I know it's going to be a lot of work.
Of all the teams in this group, who do you think maybe has a little bit of a stinker? Who do you think has a shocker here?
Haiti? I guess the only surprises would be between Brazil and Morocco. So out of these two games, who has the more likelihood of laying an egg?
Scotland winning.
I think Scotland has a better chance, obviously, to win against Morocco versus Haiti against Brazil. Yeah. So I would say if Morocco has a bad game, that would be the shock to me.
Yeah, and it would be a shock because they came in with such promise from the last tournament, and they look great in AFCON. So maybe Scotland surprises them.
We got a couple more comments to wrap up.
What are you guys
the
writing
show?
In the comments?
What are you saying, man? We don't have the chat open in front of us.
Talk to us.
Let us know what's going on.
Producer, show some funny stuff here.
Okay, Spiders Latang said Canada seems to struggle when they aren't the underdogs. Even looking back at the Gold Cup, that is interesting.
I can see that. You know what I mean? It's like when you put Trent Alexander-Arnold in the midfield to start. He's like, why am I already here, Doug? I'm not surprised. Nobody.
Yeah. Interesting. They Canada has a lot of support, so you would hope that would help them.
Oh, follow up Celine Dion with some Avril Lavigne.
Okay, little skater boy.
Bro, you want to get hyped for a game? My heart will go on. Skater boy, dude.
Okay, and then you play The Mask with Jim Carrey.
Bro, I'd break through a wall right now, dog.
Okay. Uffert said Carlo Ancelotti is there to wear a nice suit and produce good.
But can we just say something? He does it so well.
He does.
Elite level suit wearing and vibes bringing.
Because even whether it's a conceding a goal, whether it's scoring a goal, he's just like, sipping a little cafecito. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's not really
too. He's like, wow, these guys are getting beat. Oh, shit. I manage them.
Okay. What else do we got?
Thank you for everyone who's putting stuff in the comments. Man. We love you guys.
Everybody watching on YouTube. Shout out to everybody watching across all the Yahoo channels. Is that the last one?
Oh, all right.
Okay. Is that the last one? All right.
Well,
all good.
Thank you. I'm excited for what the tournament is going to bring in this round. I'm just having a good time, man. New Zealand, Iran, or was it New Zealand, Iraq?
Iran.
What an incredible that was.
Iran. Iraq. I don't remember. You confused me. But
So did I. Yeah, I've also been confused. But that match was one of the best ones I've seen. This is what I wanted. This is what I wanted. I wanted smaller nations to get their first chance in the World Cup and shine. And there's a goalkeeper right now with 47 million followers on Instagram that proves this was worth it.
Toss us a couple of those.
An ad for Cooligans.
The storyline behind that was because Avazinha obviously has Brazilian roots. So there was like a Brazilian news station or somebody that was like, oh, he had a great game and told everybody like in Brazil, like, oh, go follow this guy, show some support, and that ask went viral.
Who? What's that guy? Say it about us.
Because you need to do that for Ass Soccer Cooligans.
Yeah, what is
wrong
with y'all? But thank you for everyone who has followed, who has subscribed. Hit that bell button so that you know we're live. We're going to be live again every day during the week, Monday to Friday at noon
Eastern. We are boots on the ground. And we're in Seattle for U.S. against Australia. So we'll have we're going to also be doing a live reaction. We're going to be live tomorrow.
Right after the match.
Noon Eastern. But but we're also going to be live right after the match of US-Australia. So, so be on the lookout for that.
Yeah.
Subscribe, like, at Soccer Cooligans everywhere. Thank you so much. We'll see you tomorrow, noon Eastern, as always. We got 20 seconds. I didn't hear how long we had.
Yeah, but now you heard it. Don't worry about it. I was like, he's slowing down on purpose because we got some time.
I think we're close. I don't know. You know what I mean. TV's hard, folks.
Yeah, it's not the old way where we just take a break, go to Chipotle, come back and finish the podcast. All right, love you guys. Make sure, throw W's in the comment. Do something. Let's help us out.
Peace, everybody.